Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. So it's time to grab your Bible, get a cup of coffee. We are going to reason together in the New Testament. The subject is going to be on faith. This is God-given faith. Faith does not come from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. We know it also because faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes as a result of having the Holy Spirit, and also says that not everyone has the faith. We're going to look up seven scriptures regarding this God-given faith, and the first one is Mark 16:16-18. Jesus is risen from the dead. He appears to them again, and it says, after he had risen early in the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. That won't be good. They're going to get it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. And we've read that in another place. Their hearts burned within them while they were talking to Jesus, but they did not recognize him until they broke bread with him. And then all of a sudden, ooh, this is the Lord. Wow. He was revealed through the breaking of bread. Anyway, they went and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. So here's two proofs of disbelief. That's the same Greek word, piezo. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them. What were you thinking of? No, reproaches is he was bawling them out. He reproached them because of their unbelief. Here's the third place in this subject that word piezo is used, but they had unbelief here. But it's still a form of that word piezo. And he reproached them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. So unbelief and hardness of heart go part and parcel. They'll find them together. Because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. So now, what is that? The fourth time that word is used, piezo, verses 11, 13, the unbelief in 14 and hardness of heart, and twice in that verse 14. Now he says to them, go into all the world and preach the good news. Not the bad news, the good news. To all creation, he who has believed and has been baptized, hear now, believe again. This thing is just full of the word belief. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now these signs will accompany them. And that word signs is the Greek word semeion. And it means a sign, a miracle. It's translated 50 times as a sign, 23 times as a miracle, a wonder several times, and so on. So these signs, these miracles, these wonders will accompany those who have believed. Here's that word believed again. So there's going to be signs, there's going to be wonders, there are going to be miracles that accompany the believer. This is not just for the apostles back then. Otherwise, it would say these signs will accompany the apostle. It does not say that. The whole Bible is not just apostles. There are apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers, workers of miracles, and so on. You'll find the list. Oh, let me digress here just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has set in the church, and this hasn't changed. God has appointed or set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. I put the no in. Are all teachers? Are they all workers of miracles? The true Church of Christ has all these. Now, what do you have in your church, my friend? Teachers. Do you have gifts of healings? Do you have helps? Do you have, well, you can say administrations. So there are two things the Christian church says are in their church today. What happened to the apostles? You got quiet out there. What happened to prophets? What happened to teachers? Well, we have teachers. Okay. What happened to workers of miracles? What happened to gifts of healings? What happened to helps? Oh, we got helps. Okay, you got teachers and helps. Administrations. Oh, we've got administrations. But how about tongues? Well, some churches will say they have that, and some will say they don't. And so God has set these. He's appointed these. This is the church that belongs to Jesus. You will see apostles, the ones that are sent out, like I won't tell you what they are. You'll have to study that yourself. There are actually 24 found in the New Testament. Did you know that? There's not just the 12. How about Paul? You'll all agree with me with Paul. Hey, there's another 11 listed in the Bible that are apostles. And I believe they're still apostles today. Anyway, God has appointed in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles. How many of you want to see gifts of miracles? Set ministries of miracles in your church. Well, everybody raises their hands. I need a miracle. I need healing. Well, gifts of healings. How many people want to see that? Where somebody will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We limit the Church of Christ, but you look for a church that has all those. That'll be the church that belongs to Jesus. I don't want to say too much more than that. I'm just trying to get you to start really thinking about the fullness of the gospel. It is everything in the gospel. The sum of thy word is truth. We can't just say, well, we'll take this part, but we won't take that part. No, if God's Spirit is truly moving in that church, you will have all those parts. Every church needs to look at this to make sure all these are in operation. Apostles, prophets. There is a church that says they have prophets, but then they got their own Bible. So we won't even go there. That is obviously false. Give me the big buzzer. Doesn't work. Just start with the gospel and that doesn't even work at all. They preach another Jesus. So now if they're using the right Bible, the one that God wrote, King James Version is a great place to start, we will say there. New American Standard's a very good version also. But we generally use the King James as our basis, as our study guide. We'll explain to you that as time goes on. But God has appointed in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles. Okay, now does this line up with this? Back here, I read 1 Corinthians 12, around verses 28 through 31a. Now, back to this. These Simeon, miracles, signs, and wonders will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It goes along with this. God has set in his church first apostles, then prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The person that gets his hands laid on must believe, though, too. There's a caveat there, or a hitch. You don't want that hitch in your giddy up. You want to get healed, right? So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed by the word, by signs that followed. Let me see if that's it. I've got an interlinear here. He confirmed it through accompanying signs. It's the same word, Simeon. So that word is, God is going to confirm himself by signs and wonders and miracles. If you go to a church, my friend, you should see the full working. Somebody was just telling me that they ran into a man who is faithful in reading his Bible, but he's tired of just going to a church where one man does all the speaking. He wants to go to a church. I'm going to guess for him. He wants to go to a church that has apostles. Yeah, they have prophets, and thirdly, teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. I know more people that are looking for a church where they see the fullness of God working, not just a church of Brother Bill. We want to go to Jesus' church. The next chapter on faith, Acts 20:21. The context is 17 through 38. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." They also made house calls. Boy, do you see that anymore? You get a mega church, how many house calls can one minister make? Well, if you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, the deacons. Remember when the church got too big, the widows were neglected. They laid hands on diakonos, which means a through whiter. If you'd like to hear more about that, let me know. A through whiter is really what the word diakonos means. A through whiter. Ooh, does that shock you? That sounds a little differently than what we see in churches. And they taught publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I must get out my interlinear and check out one word here. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. And it's testifying both to Jews and Greeks, repentance into God, the word is ice, back into God, and faith into our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Greek is very precise. Upon is epi, in is ein, E-N, ice, E-I-S is into. That word, now that would be the most accurate. English is subservient. It rests on the Greek, and it's faith into our Lord Jesus Christ. So apparently the more faith we have, the further into Jesus we get. We're just not on the fringes. We can be right in the middle of what is called His will, doing what's in God's mind and in God's heart, and go back into Him, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance into God, ice, into God, not just toward God. That would be pros. It is ice, E-I-S. It is not pros. It's not toward God. It's repentance to come back into God and faith into our Lord Jesus Christ, coming into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. And believe me, it is good news. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. You know, some religions are just paper thin, but the Bible is just so broad and so wide and so deep and so high. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Boy, when I met this Jewish man of God 37 years ago, that guy had some depth to him, and he had some width and breadth. He started introducing us to things that I'd never heard of before. People in churches, they don't talk about demon possession too much. And all of a sudden, I started hearing about demon possession, and he would take care of it. You'd watch him cleanse people of demon activity. You'd watch him lay hands on people, and they were healed. And you always thought that was quackery. I saw it with my own eyes. And it still goes on today. Be on guard for yourselves and for the whole flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It's not Bill's church. It's not this church with a particular name. It's not Frank's church over there. And boy, do people say that. I go to Ed's church. I sure like the way he preaches. But it says here to shepherd the church of God. which he purchased with his own blood, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that day and night, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word or the image, that's actually the word logo, of his grace, to the image of his grace, which is able to build up and give the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, agios, made holy, healed. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to men who were with me. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kiss him. I knew a man just like him. Just like him. He was Jewish too. I knew him just like him. Believed in Jesus Christ, just like him. Healed the sick, just like him. I knew him. 15 years I knew that man. Grieving especially over the word which he had spoken. Boy, does this bring back memories, I have to tell you. And that they would see his face again, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. Boy, I tell you, my life changed. And he made us do things on our own. He wouldn't do things for us. He just gave us the tools. Well, Dewey's doing them. Dewey's doing the foundation truths. He's going back to the Greek like we have shown him, and he's figuring things out for himself. And I'm not doing it for him. He's doing it on his own. No commentary. He's just putting the scriptures together. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen in 3 years. It'll be interesting to see how God moves with Dewey here at KKIM. God is such a good God. Romans 10, 17, verses 16 through 21. However, they did not heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So where does faith come from? Not all men have the faith, and faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So here it answers where faith comes from. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So it's not just the word of God. You got to hear the word of God, the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long, please listen, Israel, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. God, we would that all Israel would be saved and come to a knowledge of Yeshua. Jesus Christ is his name. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What a magnificent name, a name above all names. We are in Ephesians 2, 8. We're going to read verse 15 of chapter 1. We're going to start in chapter 1 and go to verse 10 of chapter 2. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in our Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, two important things. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Ooh, your heart has eyes. You know, your body, your flesh has eyes. Paul is praying here that their eyes of their heart would be opened. Are your eyes of your heart open, my friend? Can you start seeing what the gospel is saying? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. So when your eyes are opened, you will know the hope of Christ's calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You will start seeing what the rewards are going to be being a saint, being an agios, Remember, the Holy Spirit is the agios phenevna, agios, no blemish, no fault, absolutely perfect is that word, agios, the agios phenevna. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power, dynamite, dunamis, toward us, into us, who believed? These are in accordance with the working of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. He brought about all of this through Jesus' death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and especially finished it off at his resurrection. I'm talking especially what it mentions here. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You know, my friends, there are some religions out there that do not believe in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'm going to give a challenge to every church out there that they seat Jesus Christ above every person in that church, including the minister. And Jesus Christ reigns eternal. And if there's anything that needs to be changed, do it for the name of Jesus Christ and turn the churches around to where they belong to Jesus. They go back to Jesus running the church and have the fullness, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, workers of miracles. How many churches want workers of miracles back in them? Gifts of healings. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived. Tell me about it. We all lived formerly this way, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, this is nothing we did. This is where the credit and glory goes. But God, being rich in mercy, because his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You know, people don't need to quit smoking first. They need to come to Jesus first and get the Holy Spirit, and he'll help you stop immediately. That's what you need to do. You need the Holy Spirit so you don't sin anymore. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth, and especially into his faith.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."